Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 28, Thy Mercy, Lord, is in the Heavens. 28. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you are worthy of praise from every creature. We look up to you as creatures to their Creator. We acknowledge that you are the God of heaven and earth, and the vast creation far beyond what mankind has ever been able to find out. Blessed be our God forever. Lord, when men and women find their courage failing and call to you for help, you never fail them. When people bring their sin-darkened lives to you in penitence, you receive them. We ask you to be with us in our worship. This is our moment of penitence and our moment of approach to you, our God. Be with us now and help us where we need help. Lord, you have created us for your service. Our life is meant to reflect your life in this, your world. We confess our failure to represent you to the world around us, our failure to trust you completely, our concern with lesser things, and our lack of concern for the things which really matter. Forgive us, Lord, where the balance of our life has gone wrong. Help us to recognize the temptations of the way and to overcome them. Help us to be awake to the needs of others and to be ready to meet those needs. So help us day by day to become better representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 113, God the Father of Creation, 113. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, at verse 1. Genesis, chapter 1, at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 1. John, chapter 1, at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 500, Lord of Creation, 500.
Thank you.
John's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Words from one of our best known and best loved Christmas hymns. And those words are expressing the same truth which is enshrined in those opening words of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. It's clear from early on in John's Gospel that the Word means something more than we normally mean by the word Word. A word which can become part of a sentence, a word which we can look up in a dictionary to find its meaning. No, we're here talking about something much more than that. When we read about the Word which was with God in the beginning, and when we sing, Word of the Father now in flesh appearing, we're dealing with something far deeper and more far-reaching than a mere word in a sentence or a dictionary. When we're reading and studying John's Gospel, we have to keep in mind that it's different from the other three. Well, they're all different from each other in a way, but there's much more similarity amongst Matthew, Mark, and Luke than there is between any one of them and John. John's Gospel was very much the latest of the four to be written. It was not in circulation until maybe about the year 100. And when it did appear, it was evidently the product of many years of study and meditation on the earthly life of Jesus and deep thought about the creation of the universe and the activity of the creative power of God. Every episode that John narrates, he treats it something like a little drama. The scene is set, the characters come on, they play their various parts in the action, and we're left with the underlying message of the whole episode. John has begun then by saying the Word, God's creative power, was there from the very beginning. And then in his 21 chapters, he proceeds to illustrate how that power of God has been at work in the various episodes which he narrates. The turning of water into wine at the wedding in Cana, the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus the Pharisee, the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000. In all those episodes, John is seeking to bring out an underlying truth. And it all stems from the premise that the Word, the creative power of God, was in evidence from the very beginning. Whatever we mean by the expression the Word, it is something which did not have to be created. When God created the universe, the world, the planets, the creatures, man and woman, God did not have to create the Word. The Word was already in existence, coexisting with God, being in fact part of the essence and the nature of God. All this is difficult for the human mind to understand. It's philosophical, we might say, and it doesn't have much bearing on the life of every day. Difficult to understand, yes, but some things become easier to understand, easier to grasp, if we're exercising faith, trusting ourselves to God, putting into his hands the mysterious and the difficult things of life, leaving it to God to show us the way we ought to live, and then doing our best with his daily help, doing our best to live in that way. There are some significant ways in which God continually helps to show us the right way. There is the Bible. The Bible is, of course, a book of much variety. We call it a book, but as we know, it's a collection of many books, 66 in fact. Some people have set out to read the Bible from beginning to end, and some of them have succeeded in so doing. We have to admire such people. But it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to bring ourselves to make a start. And even if we do make a start, it's difficult to keep going. Particularly difficult to keep at it until we have read from Genesis to Revelation. So for many of us, the reading of the Bible consists mainly of listening to small sections of it being read Sunday by Sunday in our church service. But even that experience is very valuable. It exposes us to God's Word, makes it possible for God's Word to continue to have an influence on our life of every day. The Bible, then, one of God's ways of showing us how to go, how to live. Then there is the church. In one sense, the church is a human institution organized and led by human beings. And human beings, as we know, are faulty creatures. But the church is not only, not even mainly, a human institution. The church is God's creation. We think of what's meant by the church, the building, the people who meet in the building for worship, the organization, the Church of Scotland in our case, other churches, other denominations, all those together of every nation, every culture, every form of organization and every form of worship, all Christians the world over. That is what the church is. And being part of that worldwide phenomenon does something for us. There's strength to be gained just from realizing that we're part of it all. So God helps us through life, helps us to see the right way to go. God, who was there from the beginning and whose creative power, the Word, was there from the beginning also, helps us by various means, by way of the Bible and the church, for instance. But then the Word, of which John speaks in the first verse of his Gospel, the Word became flesh. God, in his creative power, came and lived a human life. And there, of course, is another way in which God shows us the way to go in the life of every day and gives us the strength to persevere in that way. Jesus, the Word, made flesh. This is what John is leading on to in the early verses of his Gospel. The other Gospel writers come to it in their own particular ways. Matthew and Luke both tell the birth stories, stories of the child in the manger at Bethlehem. Both of them give a genealogy of Jesus, Matthew tracing his descent from Abraham, Luke taking the genealogical table away back to Adam. Mark doesn't tell the birth stories or give a genealogy. He just plunges straight into the account of Jesus' earthly ministry. But here we have John, the writer of the fourth gospel, setting the scene at the very beginning of time, the very beginning of existence, and saying, there was God. There was the Word, the creative power of God. And this power was eventually seen in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. It's an amazing privilege and a benefit to us to be able to be in fellowship with this power of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as we meet him in John's Gospel, is the same Jesus whom we meet in the other three Gospels. But with John, there's this special emphasis. There's this associating Jesus with the very beginning of things, so that although Jesus did live an earthly life at a particular time in history, in the history of the world, there is a sense in which we can say Jesus is timeless, there from the beginning, with us at all times, through all our earthly life and well beyond that. That is at one and the same time a comfort and a challenge to us. It's a comfort because we know that whatever we may have to pass through, whatever may be the difficulties and the problems, the disappointments and the challenges of the way, Jesus is with us to help and to guard and to guide. And at the same time, it's a challenge to us because it means there's a standard to keep up, an example to follow. May God then help us, God on whose Word we rely in many ways in life, God whose Word was there from the beginning, became flesh in Jesus Christ, and is still available to help us. May God help us to go through life day by day, relying on His power and wisdom and love. So may we daily become better representatives and more faithful servants of our Lord and Master. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 352, O for a Thousand Tongues, 352.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all your goodness, which comes to us in various ways every day of our life. We ask you to receive and bless our material offerings. Grant that they may be well and wisely used in the service of your church and kingdom, and that we ourselves may continue to offer to you the service of our life. We thank you for all the blessings we receive in this life, for the wonder of your creation seen in the world around us, the material things which help to make life pleasant and interesting and safe, for the deeper things of life, the experiences which teach us of your truth and your love, your word coming to us in the Bible and in many ways, the way in which everything works together for good and prompts from your people a response of love and service. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, his life and teaching, his suffering and death for our sake, his resurrection and rule, his continual presence and the inspiration and help which he gives to generations of your people. We pray for the church in all the outward forms it takes, in this land and in all the world. Continually cleanse the church and keep it pure. Let it be endowed with courage and strength to make known your word everywhere. Bless and direct those who rule. Be with our Queen and the royal house. Give wisdom and understanding to those who are called to the public service. Help us all to play our part in making our nation free of sin and corruption and faithful to the high trust which you have laid upon us. Be with those who are in trouble and distress. Give them courage and perseverance. Protect those who are in danger. Provide for those who have not enough of this world's goods. Heal the sick. Befriend the lonely, speak peace to the dying, and comfort those who mourn. We thank you, Lord, for your faithful servants who have gone through this earthly life before us. Bring us with them at last to those things which eye has not seen nor ear heard, things prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 562, Through the Love of God Our Saviour. 562.
Thank you.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.